a tremendous opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to kind of, and I love this word, segue into our next guest, Guy Smith. Guy Smith is the author of gunfacts.info and has made it his life's work to debunk the anti-gunners. And how much fun is this conversation going to be?
I'm going to love hearing this.
It is too much fun. And we have 1 minute. So let's go ahead and bring Guy in now and welcome him to Armed American Radio. Guy, welcome on the program.
Well, howdy, Merc. Glad to be here. I'm ready to roll.
Oh, man. We have, see, I wanted to get you in here before the break. We've got about 15 seconds, I think Sean's telling me.
Yes.
But I want to let people know, because you heard that clip, it just defies logic.
It goes beyond myth logic, and I've got to tell you, out of all the myths, out of all the bunkum I've heard over a decade, that little quote from Daily Spokes Critter is just the worst.
That's the Bonehead of the Week award number two. So, guys, stick around. Extreme Bonehead, according to Nikki. Stick around, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have a lot of fun debunking the antis and the gun control myths. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters, and we will be right back. Guy Smith is the author of gunfacts.info. Guy, welcome back to Armed American Radio. Let's have some fun.
Oh, great to be here. Let's do it.
Okay. Wow. Where to start with you? Let's talk about the Chicago incident. How about it?
Well, you know, the Chicago incident is amusing on so many different levels. I just cannot keep from laughing most mornings. But the clip that you played, I think, was very instructive. We heard several people being interviewed, and these are people who don't live in great neighborhoods. And all of them, every last one of them said, you got to do what you got to do. You have to protect yourself. Even in Chicago, where the politicians, or as I like to refer to them, rectal parasites, have been preaching that guns
are
bad, they finally said, no, we've got to defend ourselves because the government can't do it for us. And I've got a prediction to make. I'm two of them. First, I think the Chicago gun ban case, the McDonald case, is going to come down in our favor. And second, I think when that happens, you're going to see a lot of people who live in rough neighborhoods dancing in the streets because they realize that for once they have a chance not to be gunned down in their own homes, not to be gunned down on their front porches, that they actually have a chance at survival.
Guy, when you see the public outrage and the outpouring of support that we see for this family in Chicago, the prosecutor be dared, triple dog dared, to even attempt to prosecute this man, the public outcry would be, I mean, just absolutely.
Well, from a political standpoint, nothing worse could have possibly happened to the city of Chicago.
Especially at this time.
Right. A poor elderly couple who defended themselves after serial break-ins and after an armed assault by a criminal, no prosecutor in his right mind would touch that case. Now, granted, the prosecutors in Chicago may not be in their right mind, but they're not even so dumb as to go after this guy.
No, they can't. Well, they could. They could. But I understand, and I'll have to do a little bit more research, I believe. You and I talked earlier today about there being a piece of legislation that gave the prosecutors an out here, that regardless of the ban, that they couldn't be prosecuted for defending their lives after an incident, I believe, in 2004.
Right.
In a suburb of Chicago, where the man who defended himself with a gun was prosecuted.
Right. And that brings up a critical point. Even in Illinois, at the state level, they realized that prosecuting somebody, despite a technical violation of the law, was just bad policy.
It's not politically expedient, is it?
Not in the slightest. And you have to give credit for somebody in Illinois that they said, you know, there's a certain level of stupidity that we will tolerate, but, you know, beyond that, we're going to cut it off.
All right, I'll tell you what. Let's have some fun with you now. That Chicago thing, boy, we could take that. We're going to continue to watch that because the McDonald case, I have said publicly, I'm still hoping for a 9-0. Now, I'm not going to get a 9-0, even though we know we should. But I had Alan Gura, the lead attorney for the McDonald case, literally days after, the week, within the week after he argued the case, the McDonald case before the Supreme Court, come on this program. And I guess the way to phrase this is I asked him, with the Heller decision in 2008, don't the justices have to rule a certain way? In other words, his comment was, yeah, five of the four justices in the majority would literally have to overturn themselves, which is not going to happen.
Right.
Quick thoughts on that before I ask you about some fun gun control myths?
Well, the Supreme Court is capable of bending the law probably better than any practicing lawyer that I know of. I participate on Eugene Volokh's UCLA-sponsored constitutional law forum on firearms. And the betting so far that I'm seeing from people on that forum, people who are far smarter about con law than I am, is that we're probably going to see a 6-3 on this one. And the reason is there are three diehards who are going to bend their rhetorical elbows around the back of their necks in order to try to put some sort of barriers up at the state level. But odds are we are going to win this one. The tell for me was listening to the oral arguments. The fellow who argued the case in favor of Chicago, the very first words out of his mouth were demoralized.
He knew. And that is some of the most incredible testimony to read. That those oral arguments were just a lot of fun.
But listening to the guy's voice, you could tell that he was defeated from the beginning.
Sure he was. Sure he was.
You could almost see him just standing there shaking his head going, why did I bother to show up today?
Yeah, we've already got Daily, Bonehead Daily out there. You can't help it.
That's extreme.
But he's already trying to find ways around it because he knows it's inevitable. So the tide is turning in Chicago. See, time keeps getting away from us. When we come back from this upcoming break, I want to get into those fun things I keep talking about. And the first one I want to hit you with is the Wild West.
Okay, I'm in the Wild West, so I got plenty to say on that.
There you go. Because we hear a lot of things, a lot of gun control myths about the Wild West. And, of course, the Wild West was wild and deadly. And that the towns had gun control instituted because they, even in the Wild West, guns were bad. Ladies and gentlemen, you're on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters, joined by Nikki Gosar, my producer Sean Young. And we'll be right back with Guy Smith to talk about some of those fun gun control myths right after these messages. Guy, any suggestions for a letter like that?
Because if the politicians want a gun-free zone, you have to somehow convince them that the public will eviscerate them, hang them, unelect them, put them on the unemployment line. And in some areas, that's tougher than others. I live in San Francisco. Imagine the uphill battle that I've got here.
Ooh.
Trying to.
You need climbing shoes on.
Climbing shoes, grappling hooks, anything I can find.
Grappling hooks for sure.
And right. A shovel.
In fact, the funny side story on that is that all of my friends here in California are asking me to leave the state because when I lived in Florida, they passed their concealed carry law right as I was moving away, and I moved to Virginia. And as soon as I was ready to leave Virginia, they passed the concealed carry law there.
Well, get out of there and go somewhere that's got it and get out of that goofy People's Republic out there of California.
And my friends are willing to pay the bill because they theorize that they will get concealed carry the moment I leave.
Yeah, they probably will. All right, well, listen, Keith, first off, thank you very much. Be very careful. Watch your back. Train with that weapon. You have a great gun. In fact, I'm actually carrying right now in the safest studio in Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta, the father of the Glock 23, the Glock 22, the bigger full size. But, we can open carry in Georgia, so that's nice. But that is a great gun. You've got a great great holster with the Galco. They make great gun leather. Been to that plant, seen it, love it, wear it, carry in it. And just train. Take as much as you can, spend what you can. I know times are tough, but learn how to use that weapon and get yourself out to the range and carry it everywhere you can legally. It's that simple, and work to change the law so that you can carry it at work. Thanks very much for the letter. Guy, I want to go directly to you. Let's talk about the Wild West. Blood was running in the streets, wasn't it?
You know, that is one of the ongoing myths, and it's funny that you said it that way because when I was in Florida and they were talking about bringing concealed carry, you could see the lobbyists pouring out of Washington straight down I-95 to Florida. And they were saying, you pass concealed carry, there will be blood in the streets. People will be shooting out over fender benders. Of course, that never happened. And it didn't happen, by and large, in the Wild West. The same problems existed then as existed today. If there are people with criminal intent and there is an opportunity for them to profit from it, and if there is insufficient resistance, then there's going to be carnage, just like there is in Chicago and New York and other places I would not live. And it's primarily caused when somebody gets the bright notion that banning guns is somehow going to keep the criminals from behaving badly. Last time I looked in the dictionary, that was pretty much the definition of criminal. So in the Wild West, despite legends, despite Hollywood's portrayal of it, most towns, the criminals went around. They would pick off people in farms that were in isolated areas. They would try to rob stagecoaches moving between towns. But actually going into a city and causing trouble, that was more likely to get the thugs killed than any other place.
All right, how do you answer this one? This is a good one. I'm a big fan of Arizona. In fact, I have Bonehead number 3 coming up on some comments made about Arizona from this is a beauty here. I'll just read one sentence of it in a short while, and you'll get the gist of it. But I'm a big fan of the state of Arizona. I believe that Arizona is a free state, obviously, and is making laws to remain a free state right now, and is coming under some pressure by, you know, the media and a small but vocal minority in the media that are all over it, and some wizards out in your state too, you know, that don't go to Arizona. But let's, you know, I'm a big fan of Tombstone, and I get out there quite a bit. I try to get out there at least once a year, and already was earlier this year. And, you know, the movies, Hollywood, they're great. They're entertainment. You got to take them with a grain of salt, okay? But how do you do when you – remember when I believe it was Virgil Earp in the movie Tombstone, and he uttered the following comment. Nobody's saying you can't own a gun. Nobody's saying you can't carry a gun. We're just saying you can't carry a gun in town. Now – that's used by Paul Helmke and Peter Hamm or Dennis Haneke and all the other kooks and wackos. That is proof positive that even gun control existed in the Old West.
Well, yeah, gun control occasionally existed in the Wild West, and you can see about how long it lasted every time. The moment gun control came about, you would get some band of fellows sweeping through the town, shooting the place up, robbing people at will, gunning down their enemies, and whoever the local sheriff was who enacted that particular form of stupidity was pretty much removed from office right away, if not actually shot by one of the citizens just to get the problem taken care of.
Yeah, that happened. That definitely happened, and unfortunately, again, up against a break. Now, you're going to stick with us for the next hour, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good, because we're going to do even more, and we're going to talk about even more. But when we come back from this break, which, man, they come up too quick, on the heels of what Mexico's president said, myth, guns from the U.S. create crime in other countries. Yeah, we'll find out about that, ladies and gentlemen, right after these messages here on the Armed American Radio Network.
Yes, and I have a question for Guy.
Yeah, well, go ahead and jump on it.
Now, Guy, do criminals go to gun shows to get guns?
I
am so glad you asked that. I'm in the process of writing another book called Catalog of Canards, and the whole purpose of the book is to teach people how political lies are told and spread,
yes,
so that they can recognize these lies as they're being told.
That would be propaganda.
Propaganda 101. And Michael Bloomberg is arguably either a Machiavellian genius or a pure idiot. I cannot determine which at the moment. But he's been going after the gun shows, and what we have discovered, thanks to research by our federal government, is that gun shows are almost never the source of guns. Depending which of the studies you look at, maybe 1% of the guns used in crimes or recovered from crime scenes, to be more accurate, originated at gun shows. Just about, if I remember the number correctly, just about 38% of all crime guns come from family members or friends of the criminal, and about another 38% are stolen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's a little bit of overlap because, well, you can expect a criminal to steal a gun from their family. So when you have, let's see, what is that? That's 70-plus percent of guns coming from those two sources and less than 1% of guns coming from gun shows, you kind of understand that Michael Bloomberg has jetted off into an intellectual neverland.
Yeah, and he's probably going to stay out in Neverland because every single time he brings this up, he looks foolish.
He looks foolish, but then again, consider the company that he keeps. One of the little tidbits I ran across last year was that his Mayor's Coalition Against Illegal Guns, or whatever they're calling it this
right.
month, receives funding from the Joyce Foundation.
Mm.
Now, you would think that a guy with, you know, $9 billion in his pocket could roll his own organization, but he's actually taking money from the money bags of the entire gun control industry. I found that fascinating. Unless your listeners forget, Mr. Obama was a board member of the Joyce Foundation
That's right.
for 8 years.
Absolutely.
That's right. And, okay.
Well, you know, the reason why I asked that question, because I know when I've gone to gun shows that they always do the whole gamut. Just they do the, the check and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's one of the things that I've had people who don't, or people that are not gun friendly, that's the first thing they say to me. I'm like, I don't know where you're getting that from, but that's not true.
Well, I had a wonderful thing happen about a month ago. I was hanging out at an NRA recruiting table outside of a gun show at the Cow Palace in San Francisco. It's actually south of San Francisco. And a reporter came up and wanted to talk to one of the NRA officers who was there. And they're not allowed to engage the press. But, you know, I had to perk up and I'd say, well, I'll talk to you. I'm an independent researcher. So I got into a wonderful conversation with this reporter and with her boss, who showed up as well. I said, have you ever been in a gun show? And she said, no, I haven't. That's one of the reasons I'm here. I said, allow me to walk with you. I'm going to shut up, and if you have questions, I'll be there to answer them. So I had 2 solid hours with a reporter from the Oakland Tribune, and it was wonderful to watch her eyes open up.
Mm-hmm.
As we were walking through, she said, you know, I don't get this. There's people selling beef jerky here and people selling luggage and people selling ammunition and stuff like that. I said, yeah, have you ever heard that quote from the Brady campaign that half of all vendors at a gun show are unlicensed dealers? And she was silent for a second. She said, oh, I get it. And it suddenly came to light to her that she had been lied to by the Brady campaign.
No, get out of here. No, no.
Yeah, your buddy, Paul Helms.
Okay. All right. You know, that guy could win a Bonehead Award every single week. And he made a comment that I have uttered on this broadcast many, many times, that we talked about earlier today, and this is a good time to bring it up, because you also alluded to the mainstream media, who I believe to be the most dangerous entity in this country because they shape public opinion. And they give groups like the Brady campaign, who are a vocal minority, the appearance of being an outspoken majority. And that old adage that if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth, is a key component of propaganda.
Yep.
We all know that to be the case. Guy, correct me if I'm wrong. You're studying it right now.
Well, I am. And, you know, a lot of times when I'm interviewed, somebody will ask, what is your favorite myth? And my favorite still is the, you know, you're 43 times more likely to be killed if you have a gun in the house than if you don't. And the reason I always vote for that one is that just has this amazing longevity. We're going on 30 years now of this study being so thoroughly debunked that at one time it had 2 separate entries at junkscience.com. But it keeps going. The problem is, and I'm in marketing. My real day job is as a marketing strategist. And so I work with the media on a lot of different fronts. One of the big problems is that, yes, there are activists in the media. There are people with an agenda. But the average reporter never has the opportunity to learn something at the depth they need to report on it faithfully. Picking up a loose, easy-to-repeat soundbite is one of the things that they do to help enhance a story that they have to get out by deadline. Our opponents in the gun control industry, and I will have to give them credit, have good marketing teams because they find ways of distilling their talking points down to very repeatable sound bites that then echo and ricochet for decades throughout the public consciousness.
Such as when Paul Helmke last year made the following comment that we don't need any more dangerous people in our national parks with guns,
well,
referring to law-abiding citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he has not corrected that statement, so we have to assume that. I've got to ask you what, because we, again, are buttoned up against the clock. Now, you're going to stay with us, and that's great. Gun control in the United States. All right, let me back up. Guns in the United States cause crime in other countries. Sean, do we have enough time here to run that 50-second Calderon clip real quick?
We could try.
Let's try.
It'll be close.
All if right. We have to, I'll cut you off.
Okay.
Mexico needs your cooperation, and that is stopping the flow of assault weapons and other deadly arms across the border.
Okay, go ahead and cut that right there. All right. You heard that direct from the president of Mexico on the floor of the People's House in this country. It was disgusting and despicable.
And completely irrational on top of that.
We have 30 seconds. Thousands of guns going into Mexico from the U.S. every day, causing problems in Mexico. Yes or no?
Absolutely not. In fact, the worst problem is them getting real live AK-47s from Afghanistan on a daily basis.
Yeah, I've never seen the grenade launchers at the gun shows, and I've been to them all over the United States. Stick around, ladies and gentlemen. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm joined by Nikki Gosar, my producer. Love him. Executive producer. He's just been promoted. Sean Young. We're here with Guy Smith. We're going to be back with George, the Mad Ogre Hill. And get this. Jim Irvine from Buckeye is going to be in. We'll be right back. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. You're on the Armed American Radio Network.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio.